Take your Bible, if you would, please, and go with me to the book of Ruth, if you would, please, chapter number one. The book of Ruth, chapter number one. The book of Ruth is the eighth book of the Bible. And the number eight means new beginning. And I do believe that right now we need a new beginning. There are so many things that have been happening across our land and around the world. And no matter what you think about it, we still have to face it. And so we need a new beginning. And as your pastor mentioned, my name's Jerry Whitlow. I used to be the dean at Massillon Baptist College. I had the privilege to be here before and bring the tour group in, I believe. And I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate you as a church and your kindness and your support of Massillon Baptist College. And now I'm sent out of the Massillon Baptist Temple going to the state of California. And I know I've talked to someone this morning. They said, boy, California's a mission field. You got that right. And it really is. And tonight we'll be telling you more about what we're going to be doing there. And so I trust you'll be here this evening. All right, Ruth chapter number one. Got your Bible handy? And we'll look at verse number one. The Word of God says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Now, what was it like when the judges ruled? Well, if you'll look at the last verse of Judges, which just look over on the previous page, the very last verse, it says this, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Boy, that sounds like today, doesn't it? I mean, people's just doing what they want to do. If it feels good, do it. People today think right is wrong and wrong is right. And it seems like everyone's mixed up and the world's turned upside down. And that's the way it was when this passage was taking place. Well, let's look here. The Bible says that during that time when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. We're going to stop and pray right here, and then we'll go a little further in the Scripture. But I want to speak to you on this subject this morning. It's time we had a new beginning. It's time we had a new beginning. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, would you help us as we look into your Word? God, I need you this morning. I thank you for this dear pastor that's let us come. Thank you for this church. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have to assemble together in the house of the Lord. Now, Father, I pray that you would meet with us during the Sunday school hour. Help me as I do my best to bring your Word. Give me the words I need to say, remove those I should not, and may Jesus Christ be magnified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, let's look at this real quickly this morning. I want you to notice with me, first of all, a family. Here is a man by the name of Elimelech. The name Elimelech means, my God is king. He was married to Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. They had two children, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sickly, Chilion means pining. And this family lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread. Judah means praise the Lord. I want you to think about it with me for just a moment. Where is it that you can take your family and get fed and praise the Lord. Well, that would be the church house, wouldn't it, when you begin to think about it? That's a wonderful place where I can go and I can get fed from God, and I can also rejoice in the blessings of the Lord. So here I find, and if you would think with me, here is a family that's in church. By the way, you say, well, how can you be so sure they knew the Lord? Well, Elimelech's name is My God is King. Naomi was pleasant. Again, you're not going to have those unless you know the Lord yourself. And they knew God. So keep in mind now that here's a family, and we're going to look at it, that they're at a place where they can get fed spiritually and they can rejoice in the Lord. So here they are at the house of God. That's the family. But I want you to notice the second thought, and that's the famine. Here they're coming to church, and they're rejoicing in the Lord. They're getting fed, but a famine comes and takes place. I don't know exactly what type of famine it was that came and hit that land, but I sure know what the famine was that hit our land. They call it COVID-19. And, man, it has done a number around the world. It's done a number on our churches. And so keep in mind that before all of that, we were coming to the house of God. We were getting fed. We were rejoicing in the blessings of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, a famine took place. Not a famine of your choosing. Not a famine of my choosing. Not a famine that you caused. Not a famine that I caused. But something happened. And then when that happened, I find this family here. They leave Bethlehem, Judah. And so when they leave Bethlehem, Judah, they go down to Moab. Now, Moab, that's an interesting place. Moab was a place, it was an idolatrous land on the east side of Jordan. It was founded by the great nephew of Abraham. Moab was the son of Lot and his daughter. Keep in mind, the son of Lot and his daughter. It was a land full of graves. It was, matter of fact, it was considered God's washpot. So they leave the place where they were getting fed. They leave the place where they were rejoicing in the Lord, not necessarily because of their choosing, but because this famine came along. So I find the family. I find a famine. And now I see the forsaking. They leave the house of God. You know, there was a time a while back, Pastor, I don't know how it was here, but I went 9 weeks without a meeting. We couldn't get a meeting anywhere. You said, why was that? Because churches were closed. It was sad. Matter of fact, even right now, 32 of the 58 counties in California are closed. They don't want you to have indoor dining, and they don't want you to have any indoor services. A friend of mine, Dr. Treiber, where we'll be working there in Santa Clara, in that area, and when we're not out in churches and other places, we'll be there at North Valley Baptist Church. He's being fined $5,000 a day, whether they have church services or not, just because of the fact that they had the indoor service. $5,000 a day. That's $35,000 a week. He's being fined. That's unreal. Our world has turned upside down. Our country has turned upside down. Not because you chose it, not because I chose it, but because a famine came along. I want you to notice what happened here. Now they're out of church. Now they're in Moab. And the Bible says something interesting here. The Bible says, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, that wasn't the intent when they left. They left because of the famine. But they got down there to Moab and stayed there. Do you know what worries me this morning, church? I'm afraid many people, because of this famine, has now gotten out of church and they might not ever come back. That worries me. It bothers me that many have now, you know, some people, and I say this with kindness, some people were looking for an excuse anyway. And now they've got one because of the famine. Some people, and I thank the Lord for live stream. I thank God for websites and Facebook Live and all. We're using every kind of means of media to be able to get the gospel out during these days. I do a broadcast weekly, and soon, beginning October, I'll be on the radio twice a week in the state of California trying to get the gospel into the prisons out there. And not only the prisons, but anywhere we can get them to listen to that broadcast. I thank the Lord for other venues we've had, Zoom meetings and all different kinds of media means. I thank God for that. But can I tell you, that's not for us to just use that from now on. That's to reach many of those who cannot come. But there are some that are never going to come back. Sad. My dad, I was thinking about it. My dad, preacher, is 87 years old. My mom's 85. And unless something changes with this virus thing and the threat of this virus thing, they may never get to come back to church. That worries me. That bothers me. Dad's in the early stages of dementia. He's starting to see people that has already went on to heaven. And he's starting to lose functions in his body. And I was thinking, man, that all his life, all my life, he got saved after my sister died. And all my lifetime they've been in church, and all my lifetime they've served the Lord. My mom and dad worked with children in the church until my mom turned 80 years old. They worked with your... My dad looked at me one day, he said, "Do you know how many preachers have sat on my lap down through the years?" I said, "It's been quite a few." He said, "Do you know how many of them I spanked down through the years?" I said, "I think it's been quite a few." But now they're not able to come, and I don't know that they'll ever be able to come back. That scares me. And then there are others that were looking for an excuse, and now they have it, and they might not ever come back. Here's a family. And I see that they were at Bethlehem, Judah, and they left Bethlehem, Judah because of a famine. They didn't mean to stay gone, but they went down to Moab and they continued there. While they were down there, their two sons married women from Moab. They married idolatrous women. The Bible tells us that we need to be careful who we marry. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But yet they went down there, and since they're away from the house of God, they married people that were idolatrous people. If they could have just stayed at the house of God, that might not ever would have happened. But due to this famine, now they married women they should not have married. But I want you to notice something else happened. While they were there, Elimelech died. Elimelech died. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They died. He died. I've had some friends to die during this COVID-19. Matter of fact, I had two very close friends die within 3 days of each other. And you know what bothers me? When they died alone. Their family couldn't be there with them. The hospital wouldn't allow them to be in there. But I am so thankful that, you know, I just said they died alone. They really wasn't alone. I'm thankful the Holy Ghost of God was there. I'm glad God never left them alone. But their family wasn't there. Their friends wasn't there. When the funeral took place, very few people attended the funeral due to all this fear and stuff that's been going on and taking place. I've known others to get sick from it and be on ventilators. I've known some to be in the hospital for a long time. I just got word this morning that a friend of mine who was in the hospital on the ventilator, he got off and he was doing much better. He wasn't healed of it. He was doing better. But I got word this morning that now he's had a relapse and he's back in there again. You know, this famine thing has thrown our world in a turmoil. It's thrown our churches in turmoil. It's thrown our families in turmoil. No matter what you think of it, it's still affected all of us. Here's a family. Here's a famine. There's the forsaking. There's the funeral. Oh, wait a minute. Not only did it affect the dad, but Malin and Kilion died also. Here's mom, Naomi. Her husband has died. Her children married women that they should not have married because they're away from the house of God. And now both their sons have died also. And here's Naomi and her two daughters-in-law who were idolatrous women. Boy, it sounds like a horrible situation. But I want you to look with me at verse number 6. The Bible says, then she arose. That's talking about Naomi. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard that in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Naomi heard about what was taking place back at the house of God, back at Bethlehem, Judah. And she realized, do you know what I need to do? I need to get back to where I used to be. I need to get back to the house of God. I need to get back to where I'm getting fed. I need to get back to where I can rejoice in the blessings of the Lord. I need to get back there. And church, can I tell you, we've got to get back to the house of God. Hey, can I tell you, this is where I get fed. This is where I get the help. This is where I can rejoice. This is where we can encourage each other. Oh, how we need the house of God. I was on a Zoom conference call some time back and with the Homeland Security Secretary, Chad Wolf. And one of the questions I asked, I said, sir, I said, when will the preachers be able to get back in the prisons and back in the pulpits again? He said, well, I'll be honest. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't remember his exact words to me, but he said, myself and the administration believes that preachers are essential. Well, thank God for that. But may I say, if you believe that, then we've got to get back going again. We've got to get back going again. He said, we've got to get the preachers back in the prisons. We believe that's essential. We've got to get the preachers back in the pulpits in our churches. We believe that is essential. And can I tell you something this morning, church? It is essential. It is essential. And I understand that there's a fear. I understand all that because we live with that, and my parents lived with that. And I understand exactly how that people are fearful and are afraid. But may I say to you this morning, oh, how we need the house of God. Oh, how we need the house of God. Now find Naomi. Now remember, she's been away from Bethlehem, Judah. But she hears, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And she knows now she needs to get back to where she used to be. But how about her daughters-in-law? Well, now she's going to tell them what she's going to do, but because of the fact she's been away from Bethlehem, Judah, she gives them ungodly advice. She looks at them and says, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. You go back to where you came from. Oh my, Naomi, why did you tell them that? They're from Moab. They're from an idolatrous area. Why do you want them to go back like that? Why do you want them to go back there? The reason she gave them that advice is because she was not getting the food in her soul that she needed to give godly advice. You see, as I come to the house of God and I hear the preaching of the Word of God and I study my Bible, and then God feeds my soul and I can give godly advice. But if I'm not at the house of God receiving the food and I'm not in my Bible receiving the food, then when it's time to give advice, I'm going to give ungodly advice. So she begins to talk with them and she begins to tell them how that they need to go back where they belong. And I see the farewells beginning at verse number 7 down through verse number 14. And as they're giving their farewells, verse 14 says, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You see, Orpah leaves that one daughter-in-law and she goes back to where she came from. How sad that is. How sad that is. But Ruth becomes the follower. And this is what I find. Ruth clave unto her and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Then I find, verse number 19, as they begin to go. Boy, they're going back now to the house of God. Ruth says, I'm going with you. Orpah doesn't go because of the bad advice. But Ruth says, I'm going with you. And then in verse number 19, they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them and said, is this Naomi? Oh, praise the Lord. Naomi's coming back. Oh my, she doesn't look like she did when she left. She looks a little different. Is this Naomi? Verse number 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? I see the frustration. She comes home, but she doesn't look like she did. She's beaten down. She's broken. She's brokenhearted because of the death of her husband. She's brokenhearted because of the death of her two sons. And here she's been away from the house of God so long that she's given ungodly advice. And she's just broken. But I want you to notice, she still went back to Bethlehem, Judah. No matter what you faced during all this pandemic and all that's went on, aren't you glad there's still a place you can come back to? Where people will greet you with open arms, and where a pastor will love you, and where he is willing and ready to say, "Hey, come on back. We're so glad that you're here. What a joy to have you back. Boy, I missed you so much. I'm so glad you're here. Preacher, you don't know what I've been through. Preacher, I've been through so much. We've had so much happen in our life during this time. Preacher, we've had so much going on. But aren't you glad there's a place you can come back to?" Now, I want you to notice the last thing, and I'm done. And that is the first fruits. Look at verse 22. "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." Barley harvest was the time of Passover. Barley harvest was the time of the first fruits. Barley harvest was the time of a new beginning. Maybe for some time now you've been dealing with some things, and boy, you've been broken and you've been so discouraged and down because of all that you've been going through. Can I tell you what we need to do? We need to make sure, number one, we get back to the house of God, and number two, we need to encourage others who haven't come to do the same. There's so many people broken today. So many people that are hurting. And you know what they need to know? They need to know, "Preacher, there's hope. And that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our hope. And oh, may we put our faith in Him today more than ever before." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you will take the lesson this morning, use it for your glory. Father, thank you for these that are here this morning. I don't know what they've went through. Many of them probably went through quite a lot here lately. But Lord, here they are, and they're back at the house of God. What a blessing. Now, Father, I pray, may we continue to be faithful. And oh, God, I pray that you will feed us and lead us as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen.